Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Lamed Tes. Yesterday we covered a good part of Lamed Ches, nearly all of it. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're going to start in Lamed Tes, somewhere about a third down the page. We're talking about our cooked vegetables and our cooked fruit, and what bracha do they make? We make on them. So as we'll see, it's basically the Gemara's basic consensus is going to be that as long as you haven't really altered it, you are going to maintain the bracha of, if it's a vegetable, bari priya dama, and if it's a fruit, bari priya eitz. We had a discussion yesterday. Yesterday's Gemara was packed full of halach lamaisa, of which you know me in general. I laid out some of the basic issues, but in terms of the actual practical halacha, so that's it requires a lot more investigation, much more beyond the scope of the daf. In the meantime, however, we're going to continue with our daf over here, and we're going to start in the Gemara. We're going to actually go back to the two dafs. Val yarakas armak tani yarakas domi depas. So the Gemara starts off the discussion. I've started five lines from the top of the Amud, Lamed Ches, Amud Beis. My passion is shana yedeh or af yarakas nami shinishana yedeh or. Look, bread goes through a change. Bread is cooked. Bread passes through fire. And the bracha is going to be hamotzi. So the same thing is true with vegetables. When vegetables pass through fire, the bracha is going to maintain as a hadama. So Amar Rabbanai Mishmei Dabai is Otsimer Shlakus Mevachan Al Bari Pri Hadama. So the Gemara makes the obvious observation, which is okay. So that means you're going to make hadama on cooked vegetables. So Darish Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu Umanu Rav. So Rav Chista said publicly, and he quoted in the name of Rav, Shlakus Mevachan Al Bari Pri Hadama, that when you have shlakus, you make hadama. Rabbi say no, Yodim Eretz Mitzrayim Umanu Ula. Now, when the rabbis, one of the rabbis said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Mishmei Rav Yochanan, Amar Shlakus Mevachan Al Shakol Neibed Varom, that the shlakos, cooked vegetables, are shahako. All right, now, if you're following over here, everything is being quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan. Kind of puts Rav Yochanan in an awkward position, meaning that not yet. I jumped the gun in terms of Rav Yochanan. But stay tuned. Okay, v'ani omer. Now, I say, kol shetchilas abor pri adama shako shakol ne bivero. V'chol shetchilas shakol ne bivero shako bor pri adama. Now, here's what my addition to this whole discussion. If originally the bracha is shahakol and then you cook it, so then it's bar priyadama. If originally the bracha is bar priyadama and you cook it, the bracha is shahakol. Now, let's explain this a little bit better. The Gemara will. Bishlama koshit chalas shahakol nihibit varo shlaka bar priyadama mishkachala, bikarva visilka vikra. Look, there's certain vegetables which just simply cannot be eaten raw. The Gemara gives a short list. Cabbage, beets, and pumpkin. Okay, and there are others out there as well. But in other words, these list of vegetables over here, cabbage is funny. Cabbage, okay. So, one of the problems with our parak is that when you translate things, you don't know if what we call cabbage is what the Gemara referred to as cabbage. Our cabbage, we eat raw. Okay? Okay. Anyway, but it's an issue. But anyway, but the point of the Gemara is like this. If it's a vegetable that is not normally eaten raw, so like pumpkin, for example, pumpkin's a perfect example. It's a vegetable. Nobody eats it raw. In other words, what do we do with a pumpkin? We cook it. And then after we cook it, then we eat it. Right? Same thing with the potatoes. Right? Nobody eats it raw. First you cook it, roast it, whatever, and then you eat it. So for those things, the original bracha, meaning if you decide that you want to eat it raw, that's not normal, but if you decide you wanted to do that, you make a shahakol. But once you cook it, so then the bracha turns into a hadama because that's how it's normally eaten. Wonderful. But then, Ella kol shetchilas abor pri adama shakol shakol hechem mishkachala. But here's the Gemara's quandary, meaning where do we go the other direction? Where it starts off as being a bar pri adama, and you cook it, and because you cooked it, now the bracha is going to go and be converted into shahak. What's that going to be? And in the Gemara's question is basically the following. Meaning when you cook a fruit or you cook a vegetable, you're not really deteriorating its quality. It's basically the same. So you would think, as the Gemara just quoted above in the name of Abaye says, Zosomeris, that when you cook a vegetable, the bracha maintains a bar priya dama. When you cook a fruit, the bracha maintains a bar priya eitz. And here, it's recorded that if you cook it, the bracha goes down to shahako. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mishkachala Betum Mevikarsis. So the Gemara says, look, garlic leeks. Garlic and leeks, when you cook it, it basically becomes so inferior, it loses so much of its potency, so therefore it downgrades to a shahako. So if you eat raw garlic, or if you eat raw leeks, so that's the vegetable with all of its flavor and all of its everything that goes along with it. But once you cook it, the bracha downgrades. Okay. Now, to this, Tosfos writes as follows: Mishkachala betumah v'karte. Take a look now at the third Tosfos on the Amud. V'im tomar v'arei nira le'inayim da'bisha mashpichin. The Gemara says, cooked garlic. What could be better than cooked garlic? So the Yeshlamer dahainu bishvil habasa v'amelcha betochan. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, maybe right. In other words, the garlic, if you put it in another dish and you cook it with the dish, so then the garlic gets infused with all the wonderful flavors of whatever it's cooked with. But simply by itself, so then the garlic kind of just loses its power and potency. Now I know in modern cuisine, in modern cuisine, garlic is served by itself. Right. So I know that this Tosfos doesn't really speak to modern cuisine. But anyway, that's how Tosfos explains the Gemara. And so Tosfos now dips into the discussion of what about wine which is cooked? Meaning, if cooking improves the flavor, or at least keeps it status quo, so then the bracha is going to maintain. So Tosfos here argues, so it's got to be the same thing with yain mevushal. Meaning, if you have wine which is cooked, so Tosfos argues that since it actually improves the flavor of the wine, so therefore the bracha is going to maintain as a bor pregafen. Okay, it's just as good after you cooked it as it was before. So the now the list of vegetables in the Gemara, right? The cabbage, the beets, the pumpkin. And then he quotes other things as well. Armonios, vechavushim. I think a chavush is a quince. I'm not really sure, but anyway. But if something improves with cooking, meaning to the point where it's not really edible before, but now it's edible with the cooking, so then it makes a switch from being a shakol to being a bar priya dama. And then he goes on to other things. Anything which downgrades, which becomes inferior, so the first opinion that Tosfos quotes is basically like this. If cooking either keeps status quo or improves, so the bracha is going to maintain. So in other words, so you have any vegetable which is normally eaten raw and you cook it. If it improves or it maintains, the bracha is going to still be bar pri adama. Okay, that's Tosfos' opinion as he quotes in the name of Rav Yehuda. If it is not edible and cooking, it makes it edible, so then we're going to switch from shahakol to adama. If it's edible before cooking and then it gets inferior with cooking, like garlic, which I know it doesn't really speak to modern cuisine, but like garlic, like leeks, so then the bracha is going to go from being an adama to post-cooking to being a shahakol. That is Tosfos quoting Rabbeinu Yehuda. And then Tosfos goes on over here, Omiru Rav Alfa's pasuk b'shlakos seishtan legrayusa yidei bishulan Omer bar pi adama kerav Nachman dam shlakos mevarchan alam bar pi adama. Rav Chia bar Ava kai nami kavasei uvechol shlakos mayir Rav Chia bar Ava af osam demishtana legreyusa. So here the Rif says basically you're always going to make adama. Midapaglu gemara adad Rav Chia bar Ava Rav Binyamin by Yefes. So in other words, the Rif is of the opinion that even if it gets inferior, you're still going to make a bar pi adama. He believes that tamachlok is contained in the Gemara. Okay, so the Rif is more unilateral in terms of making the bar pri adama even after the vegetable is cooked, and even if it gets inferior. Okay, of those two positions, who do we follow? So I didn't investigate the matter further. But Tosfos has a machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Rif. Okay.
So either quince or be it shakol.
If it's not quince, normally eaten raw, so then yes, so then the bracha would be shakol.
Then it becomes by fluid.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Darush Rav Nachman, we're back in the Gemara, we're in the middle of the Amud, Darush Rav Nachman, Shom Rabbeinu, Manu Shmuel. So the Gemara now quotes Rav Nachman, who's quoting Shmuel, Shlakos Mevarchan Labar Priya Ha'adama. Okay, so Shmuel says, again, cooked vegetables is Adama. V'chavreinu Yedim Eretz Yisrael Manu Ula, Mishmed Rav Yochanan, Shlakos Mevarchan Labar Priya Ha'adama. He quotes Ula, quoting Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan here stated that the bracha is Shakol. V'ani Omer B'chlok Shnuya. Now I think, you ask me, I think this issue of cooking vegetables, whether it changes the vegetable, the nature of the vegetable, and whether it changes the bracha over the vegetable, I think it's a machlokas, detanya. He says, let's take a look at the following braisa. Yotzim berikika shorim mevusha shaloni moch divrei Reb Meir. Okay, eating your matzah on Pesach, can you soak it? Are you allowed to soak your matzah on Pesach? Can you cook your matzah? before you eat it. So Rav Meir basically says, sure. So yotzim berikik hasharui, if it's soaked, uvim avusha, or if you cook the matzah, as long as it didn't disintegrate, Rav Meir says it's fine. So you can eat it. Okay, probably easier to eat it if you soak it or if you cook it. Rav Meir says, as long as it doesn't disintegrate, you can eat it. Rav Yossi Omer, Yotzim Berikik HaSharuy, V'lo B'mavusha. Now Rav Yossi says, soaking it is okay, but you're not allowed to cook your matzah. So, by the way, when I say cook, I mean in a liquid. But you're not allowed to cook your matzah, afa pishlo nimoch, even if it didn't disintegrate. So ostensibly, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, whether or not, this machlok is Rav Meir Rav Yossi, of whether or not you can eat cooked matzah on Pesach night, on Seder night, in order to fulfill your mitzvah, ostensibly is a machlokas of what does cooking do to a food? Does cooking retain its status, or does cooking diminish its status? Velohi. Now the Gemara suggests, no, you know what, leave this out of our whole discussion. Because the Kulei HaMashlokas Mevarech Alam Bar Pri Adam. The Gemara says like this, look, Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, they could both agree that if you cook a food, the Brecha maintains a Bar Pri Adama. The Akan Lo Kamer, Rav Yossi, Asam Alam Yishun, to be in Ta Matzav Aleka, so the Gemara says, but by Pesach, it just could be to what degree you have to taste the matzah. Meaning it could be a totally different issue altogether. On Pesach, you have to eat matzah, but more than just eat matzah. You also have to taste matzah. So it could be what they're arguing about is if you cook the matzah, you're really diminishing the taste. And so Rav Yossi's argument could be, that I don't hold by. Meaning cooking it diminishes its taste, it's not good. Okay, now here we get into trouble. Because here now the Gemara quotes Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan, that when it comes to shlakos, so the correct bracha, cooked vegetables, correct bracha is Bar Pri Adama. Now, we have quoted Rav Yochanan twice on this page, on this issue. Now, do you remember we quoted Ula up above, right towards the top of the Amud. And Ula said in the name of Rav Yochanan that if it's shlakos, if it's cooked vegetables, what's the correct bracha? Shahako. Do you remember we did that again? No. Ula again. Yeah, I mean, we did do it again, but it was still Ula. Ula quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan that shlakos are cooked vegetables is a shako. Now the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who says that according to Rav Yochanan, cooked vegetables is Bar Pri Adama. Okay. That is, so we have now two conflicting viewpoints. What did Rav Yochanan hold? Now, before this is even attempt to get resolved, Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shalkus Mevarchin Alayim Shakol Ni Bedvaro. Now, Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, like Ula, is of the opinion that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that if you cook vegetables, the bracha is Shahakol. So, quickly to summarize, we have two viewpoints of what Rav Yochanan held. Okay, this isn't good. Meaning, we can understand debate, but you can't. It's hard to understand how one Amara can state two separate opinions. That's difficult. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kava Ula L'Shabeshti K'Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. You know, Ula is making the same mistake as Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. They're both in that same mistake. They think that according to Rav Yochanan, you cook a vegetable, it's over. The bracha now is a shakal, and that's not what Rav Yochanan said. And despite that, there are two voices of Rav Yochanan, they're both wrong. And the opinion of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, that's the correct opinion. So, Taiba Rav Zer v'Chimayin Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, it's Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Look, let's put them side by side. I know, I mean, something that very difficult for any one of us to do, but the Gemara does it. Let's put Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes side by side with Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Let's compare the two. Rav Chiya Bar Abba Daik v'Gamer Shmaita Rav Yochanan Rabbein. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba sat in the front row of Shir. Now the Gemara doesn't say that exactly, but the point is that when he carefully listened to his Rebbe, and just you know from experience I get that the ones who sit in the front row are the ones who are listening more carefully. That's not true here in this room, but I'm saying in general it's true. Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes lo daik, and not Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. He wasn't careful. And he would review every 30 days. So not only was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba listening carefully, but he also reviewed constantly. And Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes lo mahadah, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes didn't have a chazara program. Okay. Now, aside from these two points, I'm also telling you, here's what I saw. It was beans, it was cooked in a pot, and it was cooked seven times. Va'achlele b'kinuch se'uda was eaten at the end of a meal, dessert. Asa v'shalu Rabbi Yochanan. And now, the question was posed to Rabbi Yochanan. Bar-malu mevarchanan ilaveh bar-pri adama. And he says, oh yeah, the bracha is adama. Okay. Va'od, and furthermore, talk about a pylon. Va'od, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ani Ra'is is Rav Yochanan Sha'achal Zayis Melach. And Maliach, I saw Rav Yochanan eat an olive, a pickled olive. And I'm telling you, O Baruch Halav Tchil V'Sof. And I saw him make a bracha before and after. Now, it's important in this part of the story to know, well, which bracha did he make before? Meaning, in the story that's now recorded, the whole point that we're trying to make is that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that a cooked vegetable, and by the way, did you see what the Gemara did over here? In other words, they put cooked vegetable right side by side with pickled vegetable. The Gemara does not see a difference between a cooked vegetable and a pickled vegetable. And in Yoredeya, we have a general principle of when you soak something, it's like you cooked it. Kavush kemavushal. And so what the Gemara is now is assuming is that whatever Rav Yochanan said on the pickled olive would be the same bracha that we would make on a cooked vegetable, on any other cooked vegetable. Now, but what makes this story somewhat somewhat difficult for us is the following. We didn't actually hear what bracha Rav Yochanan made. We just know that he made a bracha before, and he made a bracha after. But the Gemara does its detective work, and the Gemara says, look, what bracha do you think he made before? Look, you got to figure that if it's an olive and it's pickled, which means it's cooked, I'm surmising that he made a bar preitz before the olive, as is the correct bracha, before you may eat an olive. It's one of the shivas aminim, and it's a fruit on top of that. And the bracha afterwards was al haetz val preitz. That would make sense. But says the Gemara, aliyam ar shlakos labemosai kaima. But if when you cook, or in this case, pickle a vegetable, or in this case, a fruit. If you want to tell me now that the bracha is a shahakal, so let's even imagine for a moment that he made a shahakal before. I didn't hear what he said, but let's imagine he made a shahakal.
What do you say
after? But what do you say afterwards? And this is not the first time in our perek, the Gemara entertains for a moment that if it's not an ala michya, it's not an ala eitz, or if it's not a, you know, if it's not benching, there's no bracha achrona. Gemara for a moment entertains, there's no bracha achrona. But the Gemara then quickly recovers, and the Gemara says, Doma, bar nefashos, rabos v'chasonan, kol ma shebara. Well, there is that bar nefashos, maybe he said that as well. You kind of feel from the Gemara that this was not universal, the bar nefashos, meaning we, of course, accept ala halacha that after you eat a food, that's a regular shahakal food, you're going to make a bar nefashos, but it sounds like from the Gemara, just I get that feeling that it wasn't universal at one point in time. Mesiv Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel. Okay, so, right, we're at a good pausing point. So, you cook vegetable. What's the correct bracha when you eat the cooked vegetable? So, obviously, it's subject to a machlokus. We spent nearly an amud discussing it. But it sounds like the Gemara's conclusion is that you're going to make a bar priyadama. That sounds like Gemara's conclusion. And even though there are those Amarim who quoted Rav Yochanan who said you make a shahakal, but the Gemara more or less dismissed that position. Even Rav Yochanan says that you make a bar priyadama. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion as well. Certainly, that's the halacha. The only discussion left we discussed in Tosfos is what if it becomes inferior in the cooking process? So then is it still a bar priyadama or is the bracha changed to a shahakal? And that seems to be a subject to a machlokas between the two opinions in Tosfos, the Rebbe Yehuda, and the riff that we quoted back in Tosfos. Okay, let's go on. Mesiv Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel. We're three lines from the bottom of the Amud. On Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Yirako Shadim Yotze Behem Yedei Chavos BePesach. Yotze Behem UveKelach Shalahem. Marer, we have an obligation on Pesach to eat a bitter vegetable. Now, you can eat either the leaf or you can eat the stalk. It doesn't matter. You can fulfill it either way. But, says this Braisa, Avalo, Kvushim Velo Shlukim Velo Mevushalim. It cannot be soaked, it cannot be cooked, and it cannot be cooked. By the way, the difference between shaluk and mevushal, you're going to see those two terms side by side in the Gemara most of the time. Shaluk means like really cooked, thoroughly cooked, and mevushal means like kind of like parboiled, cooked, but not all the way. But the point is that if your vegetable is either soaked or cooked, you can't use it for the mitzvah of marer. Now, the Gemara thinks this is a question because what the Gemara thinks now is, why not? Oh, because the bracha changes from a bari priyadama to a shahakal. And that's why the Gemara thinks it's a question. So the Gemara now wants to know, so why not? What's, in other words, must be that it changes it to the point where the bracha changes. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. No. The bracha is still bar pri adama, but that's not the issue. On Pesach night, when we eat the marv, what do we want? We want a bitter taste, we want a bitter flavor. And if you cook it, you're going to take the bitterness away from the vegetable, and so that's why it's not good. It has nothing to do with the change of bracha. The bracha can maintain, it will maintain. It just happens to be that we want tamar. Now the Gemara takes a moment on a tangential issue. Rav Yochanan ate an olive, okay, which in Hebrew is called a zayas. Now, throughout Shas, we've said this time and again, is that in order to make obtain a shear of a food, you need a kizayas, the volume that is similar to an olive. Now this is funny. I really enjoy this. So what bothers the Gemara is the following. Now to make a bracha rishona, there is no shear, right? You can't taste a food without making a bracha rishona. So the Gemara is not bothered at all about the bracha rishona. Good. What bothers the Gemara is the following. He made a bracha achrona after eating the olive, right? And Allah eats val priya eats. Good. Now, this is funny, but I'm going to say it. He didn't eat a shear. Now, even though he ate an olive, he didn't eat a shear. Why? Gemara explains. I'm Rabbi Yirmila, Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Yochanan, Heich mevarach la'azayis maliach. Kaven deshakle legarine, because when you eat an olive, what do you have to do? You have to take out the pit. Batzel le'shi'ure. Oddly enough, eating an olive does not constitute a shear of eating the size of an olive. Right? I know that's confusing, but if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because the volume of an olive includes the entire volume of the olive, including the pit. But when you actually not eat an olive, you have to remove the pit. So obviously you're diminishing from the volume of an olive. And so therefore, the Gemara just simply wants to know, how did Rav Yochanan make a bracha achrona? He didn't have the shear of a kezias. Okay, he ate a zayas, but he didn't eat the shear of a kezias. So Amar Lay, Misvar is kezias gadol bein and kezias bein and bein. So the Gemara says, first of all, let's get this straight. When we say shear of an olive, we mean a mid-sized olive, right? In other words, you go down the aisle in the supermarket. I like olives. It's an issue of mine. But it's not such a bad issue. But in other words, but you go down, you'll see. Small olives, medium olives, big olives. They grow them in various shapes and sizes. So when we say a shear of an olive, we mean medium. Right? There's a big discussion amongst the Achronim that perhaps the sizes of our olives have changed over the years, but that's an Achronish discussion. We're going to stay with the Gemara for now. And look, and what Rav Yochanan was eating was a large olive. And so, when they took the pit out of the large olive, there still was enough olive, flesh of the olive, so that it matched the shear of a mid-sized olive. Very good. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim says, what olive are we talking about? Not big, not small, but rather Beinoni. Mid-sized. Vizeu Aguri, and by the way, it goes by the name of Aguri, V'amri Rabbi Yirmiya, Lo Aguri Shmo, Ela Avrute Shmo, okay? Various Tanayim, Amarayim, are arguing about what it's also known as, a.k.a. V'amri Le Samruse Shmo, some say it's a Samruse, V'lamani Kro Shmo Aguri. Now, by the way, why is it called Aguri? Shmeino Agur Besocha. Because the oil inside is coagulated inside the olive. It's like stored in the olive, waiting to come out. And so therefore it's given the nickname of Agure. Nema Ketanai. Okay, so, cooked vegetables. Right, we're back. I know the Gemara is spending a lot of time on this topic of cooked vegetables. Okay, it's obviously very controversial. We're back to cooked vegetables again. What's our conclusion up until this point in time? It sounds like from the Gemara, Bari Priya Dama, Bari Priya Eitz, whatever it was originally, cooking it will not change the bracha. Maybe garlic, maybe leeks are different, perhaps, but right now the general consensus of the Gemara is we're good. Its bracha remains whatever it was before it was cooked. The Gemara suggests Nema Ketanai. Perhaps. This issue is subject to a machlokas of Tanaim. The Gemara tells the following story, not a pleasant story. There were two students sitting in front of Bar Kapara, Villa Fund of Kruv, Vidar Muskin, Upargios. So, food was being served, vegetables, cabbage, I don't know, some vegetable. Rashi goes, right? Rashi has a couple of suggestions of what it might be. For our purposes of this Gemara right now, all we need to know is it's a vegetable. Upargios, pargiot, one of my favorites. Okay, so it's delicious. Chicken, grilled chicken. So Nasan bar kapar reshusa echad mehem levarech. So he said to one of his students, "Okay, go ahead, choose, but choose wisely." Okay, so in other words, you have your choices between vegetables or grilled chicken. Kafa tuverich la pargios. So this student did what I probably would have done and reached right for the meat. Okay, go for the grilled chicken, and he left the vegetables right there on the table. Ligleg alav chaveiro. So now, the other student who was there watching this started making fun and ridiculing the first student who took the pargiot rather than the vegetables. Kaz bar kapara. And bar kapara gets angry, but it was not clear originally who was his anger towards. The mevarich, right, the one who took the pargiot, or the ridiculer, the other guy. I'm a lola mavarech ani kois ala alam alagleg ani kois im chaverech adam kemishal otam tam basam eolam ata amalig leikta. So he's not angry, says the Gemara. Originally, he's not angry at the mavarech, but he's angry at the one who is mocking and ridiculing. So first of all, there's a general midos issue. Okay, that which, right? Let's not miss this opportunity to talk about. Right, obviously, it's totally inappropriate behavior in terms of midos. But on top of that, even from a halachic standpoint, meaning obviously, clearly, this was an issue of what he preferred. Meaning, he likes pargiot. He wanted pargiot. And now you're mocking and ridiculing him for reaching for the pargiot before the vegetables? So, mali like that love. Chazava amar. And then bar kapara gets angry a second time. Now, by the way, the anger also is an issue, meaning that's also a midos issue, which the Gemara says many times is never appropriate. But he gets angry a second time. He says, and oh, by the way, I'm also angry at the one making the bracha. And he said, look, maybe he's not that smart. Maybe he didn't know which to reach for first. But I'm sitting right here. So if there isn't chachma, but isn't there a zakein? Can't he ask me, Rebbe, which one should I take first? Should I take the meat or should I take the vegetables? And allow me to give him the proper derech in terms of what he should be doing first. So v'tana, and then the Gemara tells us, cites a braisa, u'shneim lo usi u'shnasan. Neither Talmud lasted the year. One for ridiculing his friend and one for not consulting with his Rebbe before acting. Okay, and right now, my law b'hakam iflagi. Now, okay, again, it's not, as I mentioned, a pleasant story. It's a difficult story, but the Gemara now is using the story just to make one singular point right now in our Gemara, which is it seems to be that there is a machlokus here going on. What's the machlokus? What's the issue? How come one student reached for the pargia and the other student said, "What are you doing? What are the halachic principles they're arguing about?" So the mevarach savashakus pargio shakol niyabevero. So the one who actually took the pargio, so he thought to himself like this: look, what do I have over here? I have vegetables, but they're cooked vegetables, and I have pargio. It's the same bracha. In other words, they're both shakol. This tana, whoever he may be, totally anonymous, but he's of the opinion that cooked vegetables has a bracha of shakol. So now bracha being equal. So now it's just a question of which one I prefer. I prefer pargiot. I'll take the pargiot. Hilka chaviv adif. Omalag like Savar. Now the one mocking and ridiculing the other Talmud, what it was his thought process, Savar shlakos bar pri adama. Well, the shlakos are cooked vegetables, but they still maintain the bracha al bar pri adama. Pargiot shakol nebedvaro. Hilka peira adif. The bracha over fruit comes before the bracha over shahakol. It is a more specific bracha, and therefore it comes first. This is now what the Gemara suggests is the Nekuda Machlokas between these two students. And again, now the Gemara is suggesting that this issue that we discussed, all on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, is now at the forefront between this in the story. Gemara says, nah, maybe not. The kuli am shakol to parge shakol nebedvaro. The Gemara says, look, maybe they both contend that cooked vegetables are shahakol, which I know is funny because why would the Gemara go that way? I mean, I take it back. I know why the Gemara is going that way, but it's a little bit strange, being that on the previous summer the Gemara nearly concluded that cooked vegetables is bar pri adama. Okay, it's an issue, but at least here in this discussion, the Gemara says, look, they can both hold that cooked vegetables shahakol v'hachabai svarakim ifligi marsav chaviv adif v'marsav kruv adif design. It's still a question of precedence of bracha, kedima in bracha. Which one would you grab for first? Because look, one is the one who reached for the pargiot, he's of the opinion, I like pargiot, and my personal taste is going to therefore determine which one should go first. And the other student was of the opinion, look, they most may be shahakol, but let's look at nutritional value. The vegetable has more nutritional value than the meat. So therefore, even though you may like the meat better, but because the vegetable is going to do more for you as the person, so therefore you should take the vegetable first. The Gemara says, perhaps that's the machlokas. Not yet. too early. I'm Rabbi Zeriki. Avinam Bei Ravuna Amarlan. Honey Gargalide Delifta. Turnips, turnip heads. So Parmino Prima Rabba. So if you come to big pieces, Bar Pri Adama. Okay, we had this discussion yesterday. We're reviewing this discussion again in the Gemara, cutting vegetables up into pieces. So if you cut the turnip head into big pieces, the bracha remains Bar Pri Adama. Prima zuta, cut up into small pieces. Shakol niye bedvaram. Now, v'chi asan lebe Rav Yehuda amalan. Now we go to the house of Rav Yehuda, and he says to us, "No, idividi bar pri adama." I don't agree. I don't care what size pieces you cut them into, as long as they're pieces of the vegetable, even if they're small, it's bar pri adama. V'haide par mina tfei. And why did he cut it up really finely? Ke'echadin namtin tame, because apparently it makes it taste better. Right, like the Israeli salad. I mean, he cut up into really small pieces and, you know, it's got a whole new flavor to it. Okay. Amar Vashi Gavina Bei Rav Kahana Amalan Tavshila De Silka De La Mavsha Bei Kimcha Bar Pri Adama. Cooked beets. We're back to borscht. Not the first time we talked about borscht in this perek. So cooked beets, where not a lot of flour is put in. So Bar Pri Adama, the correct bracha is Bar Pri Adama. But De Lafta De Mavshu Ba Kimcha, but if it is lefis, if it's turnip, and it's cooked turnip where they throw in a lot of flour. So tfei bar min mizonos. So there the bracha is bar min mizonos. V'hada amar. And then the Gemara says, idi v'idi bar pri adama. No, that's not true. Meaning if I eat borscht or if I eat cooked turnips, even though we're throwing some flour in, hai deshade bekimcha, the bracha is still going to be bar pri adama. And the fact that flour was thrown in, tfei ledevuke ba'ama avdile. That's just simply adhesion. That's just simply so that everything combines together and holds together. And so basically what the Gemara is providing us is the following. Loophole, if you will. Meaning, we've said many times now in the sixth parak that anything that has any of the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, rye, spelt, so regardless of ratio, and regardless of percentage, you're always going to make a mizonos. That was Gemara's conclusion many times up until now. Now we're going to speak out one caveat. If the flour is put in there, not for its taste, but simply as an adhesive of holding things together, so therefore the grain doesn't have any type of status, and the bracha will be whatever is going to be the majority. Okay, so this is the principle of ledevuke ba'alma. If the flour is just there as an adhesive, so then the bracha is going to be not a mizonos, but whatever the majority is.
That's a function of roll or amount, or like, how do you determine whether it was cemented or to just
right? So I'll tell you where this comes up: licorice, right? The big discussion, a big debate by licorice, right? You look at the content of licorice; it has flour in it. Yeah, but it does. But the flour, it's argued that the flour there is just to hold it together. It's just as a binder, and it's not really there to provide the taste. What's the bracha over licorice? So I'm not gonna say. Meaning it's subject to a debate. And the debate is exactly what we're discussing right now in our Gemara. Meaning, is the flour there to serve some form of taste? If so, so then it's mizonos. If it's just there to keep it all together, so then it would be a shahakol. Okay, I'll let you discuss it with your local Orthodox rabbi. Amar Rav Chista, we go on in the Gemara. Tavsha Shatardin. Okay, borscht, beet soup. So Yafel Alev, Vitov Leinayim, Vikoshikin Lebnei Maayim. It's good for the heart, good for the eyes, and excellent for the intestines. There you go. Amar Rabbi Vudyasav Abet Tfei. Now the Gemara says, first of all, it's got to be sitting on the stove for a while. The avitoch toch, and on top of that, it's not just got to boil; it's got to bubble. It's you got to hear it. You got to hear the pot sing to you. Now, Amar a papa pshita limay de silka kisilka omay de lifta kalifta omay de kuloshake kukuloshake. Now, the Gemara says something over here which is absolutely confounding, and that's the following: where Papa says it's obvious to me. I love the way the Gemara introduces this. It is obvious to me that if you cook beets in a pot. So now that the water is now adopted the color of the beet, it's good and red, otherwise known as beet soup, borscht, they grind up the beet?
No.
Good, borscht. Umaya de lifta kalifta, and if I cook turnip in a pot, otherwise known as turnip soup, or water of any cooked vegetable will take on the vegetable. And what that means is, you understand what the Gemara is now saying? The Gemara is saying is that when you eat a vegetable soup, and not the vegetable, right. Meaning the soup, the bracha you're going to make is bar pri adama. Like, who knew? In other words, and not only who knew, but this is unbelievable because the Gemara says, pshita, which is obvious. And do you remember a couple days ago, we talked about squeezing the date. And what did the Gemara say when you squeeze a date, whatever comes out of that date, shahakol? If I eat the date, it's bari pri eitz. But when I squeeze out and I extract the liquid inside, the Gemara's language was zeh ba'alma.
But you're just saying that the date has disintegrated, it's not physically there.
Okay, good. So I start the discussion with Tosfos, which Tosfos basically makes my point. Or let me say it correctly, I'm reiterating Tosfos' point. Tosa says, "My desilka kesilka mevarachel al bar pri adama." So when you eat your borscht, you're going to be making a hadama. Afa bishein ba ela mayim. And Tosa points out, you understand the chiddush of the Gemara? It's just water. A water infused with the taste of beet hadama. V'tama yirakos mevarachelam kasher yivarachel yirakos. Because basically, you're tasting the vegetable. It's like you're eating the vegetable itself. Good. Afa gav de amrina lael de mei peruzei ba'alma. Now. We said earlier in the Gemara that when you express a fruit and you get that juice out of the fruit, unless it's olives or unless it's grapes, which are exceptional, the brach is shahakol, and yesh lechalik. And Tosos ends by saying something which is great. It's like a springboard. You know, you should make a distinction between the two. Now, I'm not going to do it for you, says Tosfos, but in other words, there's obviously meant to make a distinction. So what is the distinction between the Gemara above and the Gemara right over here? Two paths to go down in terms of understanding what the distinction is. So the first path to go down is the Rush. And the Rush basically says like this. And the Rush is intuitive, and I think everyone pretty much can say the Rush without actually seeing the Rush inside. The Rush says, look, when you cook a vegetable, he talks about this?
Yeah.
So he says, when you cook a vegetable, so you're more than just extracting the taste from the vegetable. Mm-hmm. Meaning it's basically essence of vegetable coming out into the water. So it's not just simply Zeya Ba'alma, it is
the vegetable.
It's kind of right. It's more of the vegetable transferring into the water, and so the water takes on the status of the vegetable. Okay, but if all I'm doing is just squeezing and just, in other words, extracting the juice inside, so that juice inside is Zeya Ba'alma. It's not essence of the fruit, it's just whatever. It's perspiration of the fruit. It's just a residual of the fruit, but it's not the fruit itself. Okay? And according to the Rush, what that would mean is the following. That if I took a fruit and I cooked it in water, what would the bracha be? It would be ha'etz.
Right.
In other words, this distinction of the Rush, of the difference between just squeezing versus cooking, where cooking infuses more of it into the water, so it wouldn't matter what I'm cooking. So if I'm cooking a fruit, so therefore, the bracha would be ha'etz. That is the Rush's understanding of the distinction.
But squeezing it, you're getting it direct. We're cooking it, you're changing it.
Okay, basically what you're saying to me is you don't like this distinction, which is fine. I hear that. But I'm telling you that's how the Rush distinguishes. What could be another distinction? The Rambam. And the Rambam basically says like this. The Gemara earlier was talking about fruit, and we're in our Gemara talking about vegetables. Meaning a very simple distinction between fruit and vegetables. Fruit, when I extract whatever's inside, shakol. Vegetables, when I extract whatever's inside, hadamah. Okay, why? What's the difference between fruit and vegetables? So essentially, we could look up the Rambam inside. I don't have the Rambam in front of me. I encourage you to look it up inside. Because essentially, no one squeezes vegetables. Meaning, that's not what you do. In other words, but when you take a vegetable, the method of eating a vegetable could be either eating the vegetable itself or cooking it in a soup and making a soup of it. Meaning it's a more normal process to take a vegetable and either eat it or to transfer its taste into water. So when I eat the water, or when I drink the water, I'm essentially eating the vegetable. It's another method of eating the vegetable. Fruit, on the other hand, it's much more normal to eat the fruit itself. It is, quote-unquote, not normal to express the juice out of the fruit. Grapes and olives are different because they're primarily grown for the purpose of juicing. But for all the fruit which are not normally grown for the purpose of juicing, so therefore the fruit that's extracted is not considered the fruit, but it's just simply Zeya Ba'alma.
Grapes and olives are more eight.
Correct, because they're planted expressly for the purposes of juicing. So in other words, again, so the Rush makes a distinction between squeezing versus cooking, and the Rama makes a distinction between fruits versus vegetables. Okay, big, like in other words, basic nafkaminas, meaning what if I cook a fruit? According to the Rush, the water would be ha'et. According to the Rambam, the water would be shakal. And a host of other basic nafkaminas as well. Okay, and just a little bit more on the fruit and vegetable department. And then we're back to the Gemara. Let's go on in the Gemara. By Rav Papa. Maya de Shivta. My. What if I have water where I cook dill in the water? Okay? A fan favorite of our family, throw dill into the soup. Okay? And I have dill eaters in my house. So the Gemara wants to know like this. When that happens, purpose of throwing the dill in is to do what? Is to infuse the taste into the water, which now means that the water would be a bar priyadama, or is it just simply to remove the zuama? Now, I don't exactly know what this means, meaning apparently what dill accomplishes, okay, speak to the people in the kitchen for this, but what dill accomplishes, says the Gemara, is that there's some, like, froth that develops on the top, and dill is thrown on in order to absorb the froth. So in other words, it's not really for the purpose of taste, but it's just simply there to, as a counteraction against the froth. So Tashma, the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Hashavas Mishtana, Tam Bikdera, Ein Ba Misham, I'm sorry, Hashavas Mishinasna, Tam Bikdera, Ein Ba Misham, Truma, Ve'inam Atam, Tumas Ochlin. When I cook dill into a pot, and I take the dill out, the dill's basically been spent. Meaning there's no longer any taste in the dill, it's not subject to truma anymore, it's not metamei tumas ochlin, all that good taste of the dill has now went right into the pot. And so what do you see? Shema minalam took a time off dill shema mina. So the Gemara says, based on this, we can now say that the purpose of putting dill into a pot is to infuse the taste into the pot. And so therefore, if I had a dill soup, which means I just threw dill in, and now the water is flavored with the taste of the dill, the bracha would be a hadama. Okay, and that's it for vegetables for a while. Okay, so wow, a lot of discussion in the Gemara about vegetables, cooked vegetables. The discussion started all the way back on yesterday's daf on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and it basically continued all the way to right about here. Cooked vegetables. Discussion about, does the bracha change? Does it matter if I eat it raw? Does it matter if I don't eat it raw? Does it matter if it diminishes in its quality when it's cooked? Water that is absorbed the taste of the vegetable, otherwise known as vegetable soup, does it retain the bracha of adama? Many discussions within the Gemara about a cooked vegetable. We move on in the Gemara now. Amar Chia Bar Ashi. So now we turn a discussion over here to bread. Pas sanuma bika'ara mevarchan alav, abarchan alav hamotzi. I have bread which I soak in a bowl. So in other words, basically, it's soaked bread. Doesn't sound that appealing. But, and it's basically, because it's soaked, has now broken up into many small pieces. So the bracha is hamotzi. Now, we already had the discussion of bread which you cook, bread which is smaller than a kezayis piece, that you lump together. Okay, but this is not really our discussion over here. Our discussion over here is going to basically be the following. Meaning that, let's start off with a basic concept. When I make hamotzi over bread, the best way to make the hamotzi is over a loaf that is whole and intact. A shlema. Now, we usually think of this in terms of Shabbos. Meaning on Shabbos, we have two whole loaves of bread that we make hamotzi over. Okay? The truth of the matter is that it's not just limited to Shabbos. You know what the chiddush of Shabbos is? You need two of them. But in general, when you're making hamotzi over bread, the best thing is that it should be a shlema, it should be a whole bread. And so now what the Gemara is going to be discussing now is the following. Is it at any time preferable to make hamotzi over a broken piece of bread rather than a whole loaf of bread? That's basically going to be our discussion. So the discussion, and it's funny, without an introduction, you kind of get lost in where the Gemara is going with all this. So the Gemara starts off with that pasanuma bikar mevarch lav hamotzi. Okay, so if it's bread that's soaked in water, so you're going to make hamotzi, upligid Rabbi Chiya, damer Rabbi Chiya, tzarech shetechala bracha emapas. Now, Rabbi Chiya says that when you make hamotzi, what you should do is you should be cutting while you're making hamotzi, so that when you finish your bracha of hamotzi, the bread should be already cut. So maskev l'rava, maishnat sumo, delo mishum delo kaya bracha prusa. I'm sorry, delo kaya bracha. Aprusa kakaya, ala pasnami, kika gamra, aprusa gamra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, essentially, aren't you running into the same problem? Meaning, if the goal is to make a bracha over bread, which is over a whole loaf of bread, so what difference does it make if it's soaked in a bowl and it's already broken up into pieces, or if I'm cutting it and by the time I finish the bracha, it's already now cut? Either way, I don't have a shlema. Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, so now that we're going to say it like this, Amarava, Mevarech ve'achar kach botzea. So the Gemara says that the proper way to make a bracha over bread is that first you make a bracha, then you break the bread. Now, Adai Avdi Karebi Chia, so now we basically have a machlokas in our Gemara over here in terms of at what point precisely are you to cut or break the bread when you make the bracha of hamotzi? Should it be as you're basically finishing the bracha, you're breaking the bread, or no? First finish the bracha, then break the bread. So Nardai Abdikarabi Chia, Rabbanan Abdikarava. So the Gemara tells us that various Amoraim followed various opinions. Nardai followed like Rabbi Chia, they would break the bread before finishing the hamotzi. Rabbanan would go like Rava, break the bread after saying hamotzi. I'm Ravina Amrileim. Ravina says, here's what my mother told me. Reported in the name of his mother. Avucha Avika Rabbi Chia. Your father, he practiced like Rabbi Chia. He would break the bread right before saying hamotzi. And Amar Rabbi Chia Tzarech Shetechala Bracha Imapas. V'Rabbanan Avdika Rava. And she also reported to me that all the other rabbis, meaning your father, my husband, so he acted like Rabbi Chia, but I know everyone else did not. They would break the bread only after the bracha. And the Gemara comes to a very clear conclusion over here, and that is, first break the bread. Sorry, first make the bracha, and then break the bread. Now, what's the idea? The idea is very simple: that when you're making a bracha, the bracha should be done in a state of kavod, meaning you're making a bracha. So to have just a small little piece of bread, or a crumb of bread, or a broken piece of bread. I know, we get excited about sliced bread, right? We have an expression here, right? The best inventions in sliced bread. Meaning to us, sliced bread is exciting. But in other words, back then, the real kavodic way to have a bread is to have a shlema. And so therefore, when you make the bracha, you want it to be in a state of shlema. And then immediately after the bracha, then you break a piece. Now take a look at the top toasters over here. We're going to have to finish off today with this. So So some have the minhag based on the Gemara that we just learned, that what would they do? They would keep the bread whole until after the bracha. Sounds reasonable. Meaning it sounds like they're following our Gemara to a T. The ein ha-minag nachon la'asos. The habi sehesa chadas mei bracha la'achila. So Tosha says, I'm not crazy about that minag, even though it sounds appropriate, but I'm not. Why? Because Tosha says you have to take something into consideration. I make the bracha. What should I be doing right after I make the bracha? You should eat. There really should be no interruption between the bracha and the eating. Okay. So now, if the bracha is whole, and then I make a bracha, so now what? Now I got to go through the process of either breaking the bread or cutting the bread. I know it's not a long process, but it's still a process. And isn't there going to be a hester chadas between the bracha and the breaking of the bread? So, so Tosos kind of, in other words, puts us in somewhere in between. Meaning, I want the loaf to be shlema, but I also don't want there to be any interruption between the bracha and the eating of the bread. Okay, so we'll come back to that in just a second. Now on Shabbos, there's another consideration, which is you need lechem mishnah. So on Shabbos, for sure, don't touch the challah before the bracha. Meaning start the cut after you make the bracha on Shabbos, because you need lechem mishnah. Okay, Gemara in Yerushalmi. I'm going quickly right now, but the point is, it sounds like from the Gemara in Yerushalmi that first you should make the bracha, then break the bed. V'yesh kam bracha levatala, aval im haya tzarech levarecha kol apas, v'lo yuchal lifros kornim habracha, az im tipo aprusa eno mevarech al prusa acheres, v'yifter bebracha rishona. Alright, I shouldn't have read that. Anyway, it basically sounds like from the Yushami, like you should be making the bracha, and then breaking the bread. What's recommended by the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, if it's not Shabbos, so what you should do is you should start the cut, still keep the bread whole. In other words, just make an initial cut, make the bracha of hamotzi, and then finish the cut. But in other words, but really, like our Gemara says, it should be a prus, it should be a shlema. Make a bracha over the shlema, and then finish the cut after you make the hamotzi. What about Shabbos? So Shabbos is another consideration of, as Tosfos points out, lechem mishnah. And since there's a lechem mishnah consideration, so he says you shouldn't touch the bread at all. Make a motzi, and then start the cut after hamotzi altogether. Some people have a minhag on Shabbos to make a small little incision, and the purpose of which is what? To remind us that if it's not Shabbos, we really should start the cut even before the bracha. But because of Shabbos, so therefore, it's just like there to remind us. Even though I would dare say that during the rest of the week, very few people do as instructed by the Shulchan Aruch, which is to actually start the cut before the bracha. Okay. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Go.